I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
7 Knife and Hallers, what it is, what it do. Since Bobby Ingram, Curtis Ennis, know that we've been loyal even when we wasn't winning. A trusted source for the news. 7 Knife and
Episode 227.
Sorry, I saw Winning Time got canceled, so I was it took me a second.
It got canceled?
Yeah, bro, it got canceled by HBO. Crazy.
What the fuck?
Sorry, people who are watching. It's kind of messed up that we're here to talk about football, and we just ruined that. We're still talking about HBO show. But, yeah. Anyway, the Seven Night to Hallis, episode 227. It's your boy Flows. I'm here with my brother Scott. You know who we are. You know the rundown, you know. If I remember back to when we started 79th and Hallis, and I remember the reasons that we started it, it was we're here to talk about our favorite team, and we're here to vent about it. Because me and Scott had no clue that, you know, covering the Bears would turn into getting credentialed by the Bears, becoming credentialed media across multiple sports, doing all these things. It was just because we wanted to vent about the Bears. And how disappointed and how upset because this happened, this rebuild happened, it didn't work, this probably didn't work. You got a new person, it didn't work. And I realize now this is, unfortunately, this has been the essence. And we're right back where we started. We are right back at the essence of what we started the podcast for. We have to vent because the team we love sucks. And nothing has changed in that department. The team we love still sucks. And we're going to bring you more unfortunate talking conversation about them sucking. This was not the worst game I've ever seen because I've seen worse Bears games, but it was just really, really disappointing. And it seems like whenever the Bears get the chips to fall in their favor, you have to go back and look and see if these were loaded die or loaded dice that really in the end was fake. They never would fall in your place. The dice would never roll in your favor. And it was all just capped from the beginning. And right now, it kind of feels that way. It feels like it was never, there was never hope. There was never some sort of optimism, and it was all fake. And for the love of me, as my fourth year covering the Bears, as I've spent all this time, I do not understand why it is so hard for the Bears to develop a modern offense. And now it's getting to the point where the Bears can't even develop a modern defense. Realistically, the last good defense the Bears had was 2018. 2018 was the definition of a bend, don't break defense. A lot of bending. But at the end, they didn't break because if it wasn't Eddie Jackson getting some sort of pick or pick six, it was a forced fumble. It was just something crazy. But since then, and how long ago was 2018? It's 5 years ago. There has not been a solid Bears defense. Last solid Bears defense before that, what can you remember? What do you think?
Say that again?
What was the last solid Bears defense you remember before 2018?
Before 2018? 2010.
So we have 5 years. We have 10 years. Obviously, before that, that would probably
2011 be was a good team, and Jay Cutler got hurt.
Yeah. Obviously, before that, we're talking the Lovey 2005-06 Bears or something. But that's it. And then I realized the Bears haven't been able to put together something consistent and good in a long, 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 long time. We say we're tired of the 85 Bears, but that's the last time you saw consistency from this team. And, man, I'm at a loss for words right now. Me and Scott were not in Tampa Bay to cover this game, and so we got a chance to watch the game as a fan, as fans. The same way last week when Scott was covering the game and I was home because I was dealing with a sinus infection, I got to watch the game as a fan, and I watched it again, and I just thought to myself, why is it so hard to play football? This is not applied science. It's not applied physics. This isn't rocket science. It is taking a football, taking a leather ball, moving it forward. That's it. So all it is, you're moving a leather ball forward. Sports in general in America are not that difficult. You have to either put a ball into a goal, put a ball into a hoop, or have a ball cross a line. It's that simple. Football, you do it one of two ways. You run it, you throw it. But for the Bears, we know how to develop a running attack. Well, I haven't done that much well in a minute, but they know how to develop a running attack. But why is it so hard for them to develop consistency with throwing the ball? We're in 2023. Most teams are pass first. If not all teams are pass first. That is the most efficient way to score. It's the quickest way to score. It's the reality. Everybody's like an air raid team now. It's the quickest way to score. Why is it so hard for the Bears to do that? And for the life of me, I don't have an answer. I don't have an answer.
I kind of feel this is like the quickest I've been off a team in my, I don't know how long I've been a Bears fan. It's been over 20 years. It's just, at this point, man, I think every Bears fan is feeling this, just we're just fed up. It's like, why we have to consistently go through this? If it's not one thing, it's another. It's like, I think what I said on Twitter today, I think a lot of people was acting like I was letting Justin off the hook. And it's like, no, I think Justin was not good today. He's not been good all season.
Nope.
But there's this other stuff to it. Coaching plays a big part in molding a young quarterback. I've seen a lot of people say these are some of the problems he had in college. And I would know I'm not a college really. You know better than I did. They said had these same problems in college. He just had all-world wide receivers and all-world.
Which I call cap on, but that's another story. I'll get to my point later.
And to me, it's just something where there's nothing to be optimistic about. And the thing that kind of disappoints me is only week two. It's only week two. We know they're going to lose on Sunday. It's not a matter of if. It's a matter of by how much. They're going to lose to the Kansas City Chiefs at home. You're going to come home in week four, down, 0-3 against the Denver Broncos, a team that right now is 0-2 and is going to be looking at 0-3 next week. I forget who they play next week, but I think they play a pretty tough team next week. And so that's going to be a must-win game. And to me, this is just it's malpractice from the top down because there's just stuff in here that everybody's to blame. Everybody's blame. It's not one person who's off the – like, you've got a bad offensive line that – was bad last year and it's looking like nothing has changed. You spent your first draft pick on an offensive lineman when you probably should have went DL and went to go get Jalen Carter, like I said. And now you've got guys who are interchanged into the offensive line. That doesn't help the quarterback. You're not running the football anymore. Not only are you not running the football with your running backs, I mean, you had Roschon Johnson, who had a great drive last week, which led to your only touchdown. And then you got Roschon Johnson at like a 35-yard rush today, and he didn't get the ball again. You're not feeding DJ Moore, a guy who you literally traded the first pick for last year. You know what I'm saying? And you've got Cole Kmet, who you just gave $50 million to. He's not going out there and doing the extra mile. You got Chase Claypool, who's very, very lazy, not going to the extra mile. You got absolutely no pressure on the defensive line. Now, the defensive line looks worse than it does last year, and that's saying a lot. These teams just can't wrap up. Like, if you have Baker Mayfield, who's legitimately not a good quarterback, doing as well as he did, that tells you everything you need to know right there. And it's just going to get worse. Justin Fields, he has a problem holding on to the ball. I think he's shook. I don't think his confidence is broken, but I definitely think it's pulling up the confidence broken boulevard. Yeah. And I think I think some hands got to roll. I know it's only week two. I know the Bears don't like doing mid-season firings, and there's not even really a replacement that will be satisfactory to me. Like, if you fire Flusser, you may get to head coach Rex Saint. I don't think it's going to help either, but I feel like there has to be something that, somebody – it's got to be like an example made to let people know this kind of stuff is not going to be tolerated. You spent all season saying it's new culture, new this, new that, new that. I feel like the same thing to me, man. I just feel like this is a crossroads game. We all said during the offseason, if the Bears wanted to have a chance to win 8 or 9 games, maybe sneak and get that 7th seed, they had to go 2-0. They had to beat Green Bay against Jordan Love in his first career start at home. You had to go on the road and beat a Baker Mayfield because we all knew you were going to lose to the Kansas City Chiefs. Yeah. And now it just kind of feels like the season's over already. And I think the worst part for fans is there's no way out. Like, we can sit up here and say they can tank for Caleb, they can tank for Shadur. Number one, it's going to be very hard to tank for Caleb if you see the way the Arizona Cardinals are carrying around. And if you did, it doesn't matter if you have the same crappy infrastructure they have. So I just really think it's like the Bears are officially in football hell.
Yeah. Yeah, I – one is – when will Bears fans' frustration reach the ears of George McCaskey? When will Bears fans' frustration reach the ears of Ryan Poles, of Kevin Warren, of Matt Eberflus, of Luke Getsy, of – by the way, wasn't there today. But when will the Bears fan frustration – because at the end of the day, this is a sports league. It is important that you make the fans happy for their overall wants. What are their overall wants? Win. Now, fans can say, I want this player, I want this player. You don't pay attention to it. But when it comes to their overall want, the simple concept of I want my team to win – you have to make sure that you're doing that. This is 2023. Teams pass primary first. Why is that such a hard concept for you to do? Every other team this week had no trouble throwing the football. Every other team. Are you telling me Joshua Dobbs is better than Justin Fields? No. There's no way. There's no way Charlie Villanueva will come on this team and do good. It's not. So if something is wrong, if the concept of passing the ball is making a talented young player like Justin Fields look like the worst quarterback in the league, you have to start wondering deductively. You have to start wondering, use this. Is there something wrong with the staff that's been put together? You hire in Ryan Poles, he gets the picker of the litter of what you already picked. You don't hire a GM and say, all right, now you're going to go to work and do what you want. You don't do that. And so you bring in these two, basically a fourth hire, and then now you're expecting them to make it work, and you bring in people who have never done this job before. Now, I get it. At the end of the day, this happens in the league. The players who are where they are, the coaches who are where they are now, at one point they were rookies in the position that they're in. I get it. I understand. The only problem with this is that the Bears have been doing this for a century. The Bears have been hiring. It starts with George Halas. George Halas. Who did he say? What did he say to Ditka that got Ditka to want his coach there? He told Ditka to come back, and I'm going to let you coach. Ditka was not a head coach before that. And Ditka had success. And then they said, you know what? I'm going to keep doing this. You go back recently, or in recent memory, you bring in somebody who was only coached at the CFL level, and it's, you know what? Let's let him coach in the NFL. Absolutely stunk. And when you get coaches who are veterans, you bring them after their time is already over, like John Fox, and they suck. You bring in someone like Matt Nagy, who didn't have a lot of experience actually calling the game. And when you bring him in, what happens? You have a little year where you somehow got ahead of expectations. You sucked every year afterwards. And then you bring in someone who has never had a head coaching job, and he's lost 12 games in a row. Has not won since October 24th, 2022. Ladies and gentlemen, it is September 17th, 2023. We are almost a full calendar year since the Bears have won. I do not remember a game where the Bears have been this bad. And so when we're saying heads are rolling, it's not because the Bears started 0-2. They started 0-12. They have started 0-12. That's why we're saying heads should run. They have not won since October 24th. It is a problem. And Bears fans have to stop being so caught up in, I remember the King Poles does it again means, no, these people are human and clearly they're not doing their job. Right now, even for the Bears players, you have to let them know that I'm going to hold this team to the highest standard possible. And what that means is if you're not doing your job correctly, I'm going to fire you. It's nothing against these people personally. I've talked to Matt Eberflus for 2 years now. I do not have a problem with the man he is. He seems like he's a good guy. So does Luke Getsy. So does Ian Allen Williams. They're not doing their job well. Me, as a teacher, if I would say, you know what? I don't feel like teaching. Do what you want. And I did that for the rest of the year. I'm going to get fired. I would get fired within a month.
Yeah,
I would get fired within a month because that's how it works in the real world. So why are you allowing someone to be so terrible at the job that they're doing? This was Matt Eberflus' first time calling the physical plays for the Bears. It sucked. It sucked. The Bears players don't even understand the simple concept of converging on the ball. There was a play when the running back went out wide right on a little bubble screen, and Tyree Stevenson broke down 5 yards away. Is the concept of converging to the ball not taught? Is that something that you do not do? It's upsetting, and it seems like when the Bears do get gains, when there is something good happening, there's always a caveat. Yannick Ngakoue penetrates the line twice, misses both tackles that could have been sacks. Justin Fields steps up in the pocket for a dart to Chase Claypool. That's about it. Tries to throw. You called a screen pass, an inside screen pass in your own end zone. And then guess what happens? Shaq Barrett makes a super athletic play, picks it off for a pick six. That's literally pick six. Literally. You have someone like Chase Claypool, big as he is, gets the ball snatched from him twice. Justin should have had three picks this game because two of them were balls taken away from Chase Claypool. This is operationally bad. And then to get in the press conference and say, oh, you criticize it when it doesn't work. Yeah, sure. That's the general gist. Risky plays work when they work. And when they don't, you criticize them. But you also give someone leeway when they take risky plays if they have a successful history of doing so. However, you don't have a successful history of doing so. And so how do you expect people to feel? Right now, the Bears are a failure of an organization. The Bears have not been relevant in professional football for a very long time. They have not been really relevant since 2005. You had that 1 year, 2018, that was unsuspected, but you didn't go far. You lost to the Eagles.
I mean, they were good in 2010. They went to the NFC Championship game.
When I mean relevant, I mean sustained, meaning the next year, got to watch out for the Bears. Even as trash as the Brandon Staley
This is why I disagree. Because
even as trash as Brandon Staley has been with the Chargers, at least to myself, man, they may do something with Justin Herbert.
Yeah, but I'm saying 2011. Hold on, let me say this.
No, I'm still talking. You cutting me off. You can't cut me off while I'm talking. I'm making a point.
So yeah, you cut me off when I was saying.
You cut me off when I was talking. You cut me off twice. You have to let me finish. You cut me off. So as I was saying, the Bears haven't been an actual serious threat to anyone since 2005. That's the last time the Bears have been a serious threat. Ever since then, it was, oh, man, the Bears made the playoffs. What happens the next year? Everybody thinks, hey, they'll make it again, and they don't make it again. The Bears are a failure of an organization top down. And the only way you can clean an infection, the only way you can get an infection is you clean the infection. And right now, there's a virus within the Bears. I don't know where it comes from. I don't know if it's a true feel that, you know what, I just want them to have a running back and I don't care about anything else. But there needs to be some sort of organizational change. This is a failure. Everybody expects the Bears to suck, and the Bears always prove them right.
This is why I disagree with that. Because 2010, they went to the NFC Championship game. 2011, they were 7-1 before Jay Cutler broke his stomach, whatever, and was out for the rest of the season. So that's why I don't agree with that. Either way, that was 12 years ago. Regardless of what it was, that was 12 years ago. And the thing is, they just don't know how to do modern anything. So the question here that all fans are trying to figure out is, how do you change it? Like, what's going to change? There's 15 more games. We got a lot more football left. What is, if anything, that can change this?
Nothing.
Nothing to change. There's no type of, you don't have any type of resolution. What you think can happen?
You're going to have to fire Matt Eberflus. With respect to him, he has put out an undisciplined team, a team that doesn't understand how to run the simplest things at the operational level. That can't happen, and so you have to cut out the rod immediately. I would probably fire Luke Getsy along with him. Now, Janico will probably end up becoming the offensive coordinator. Allen Williams will probably end up being the head coach. These people are not going to be around next year. They're just placeholders. Those will be your placeholders, and then somebody will step up from there. You're not going to fire Ryan Poles because. I mean, shoot, I would, but realistically, GMs don't get fired that quickly. Head coaches have the heads run for head coaches before they run for GMs. And so if I'm thinking realistic, I would fire Ryan Poles. I don't think he's done a good enough job. I would fire Matt Eberflus. You have not won almost a calendar year's time ago. If you allow this to happen for four more weeks, you're nearing, five more weeks, that's a technically 0-17 season. You got to get rid of him. You don't come back after an 0-17 season. So you have to fire Matt Eberflus. You have to fire Luke Getsy. You have to let Jericho become the coordinator. And I'm not like a Bears fan. Jericho got it solved out. No, he's a placeholder just like Alan Williams is a placeholder. Then you have to start evaluating quarterback talent. I love Justin Fields. I am a Buckeye fan since I was a child. I love watching the Buckeyes. I love them so much. And I want their players to succeed. But I also know he's not getting it done. He looks like he's regressed. And then, you know, I have space to – do you want me to talk about what people talk about with Justin's traits in college? Or you want to keep going? So Justin's biggest issues in college were he did not sense the blitz well. He didn't. That has been a problem for a long time. While Justin can read defenses, and he has been reading defenses since college, his eye movement to getting around to his reads is slow. That realistically can change. Would it change? At this point, I would probably say no. His footwork in the pocket and getting a steady steady throwing foundation has always been great, just like his pass to Chase Claypool was great because of his foundation. But his biggest issue is handling pressure within the pocket and stepping up. How do you allow that to change? You get him moving. That's just as simple as that. You get him moving. But when it comes to holding on to the ball too long, he holds on to the ball too long. Will that change? I don't know. That's a very long ingrained habit. This is someone who has been playing football since they were children. And if the habit of holding on to the ball too long, that's very, very hard to break. And realistically, I'm a GM. I'm looking at quarterback talent. You have five quarterbacks in this draft who will probably be taken in the first round. You have May from North Carolina. You have, was it Travis? Last name for Florida State. You have Shedeur Sanders. And obviously you have Caleb Williams. I think there's a cute quarterback from Washington. Those are probably your five quarterbacks that will be taken. I have to literally look it up so I can see. And I truly think that Michael Penix. Yeah, Michael Penix. So do I think this is a strong draft in the sense that I think the top three quarterbacks are solid. I think May, I think Sanders, and I think Caleb Williams are good. It's tough, though, because I don't want to pick another UNC prospect. Shedeur is good, but I think Shedeur's had a big problem where he's going to have to do a terrible line, and you can't sit still in the pocket when you play for the Bears. Caleb Williams, are you going to really out-tank the Cardinals? And I don't see that happening. So if I'm speaking on the optimistic side, the things Justin can clean up in a realistic sense within the season are hold on to the ball too long. That's it. He's not going to sense the blitz well. So if it's a backside blitz, he's going to get hit. His fumbling was terrible. It was terrible in college. It was terrible in college, and I won't even sugarcoat it. It's terrible college.
So was he, like, holding the football? Was that something that he had an issue in college?
Every now and then, yeah. And scouts noticed that I hold it on something too long. I think one of his best games were typically against Michigan. He had a few against Michigan State where he was just slinging it. Or against Clemson last year, he got the ball out very quickly. But he has a habit of flex that arm before he throws instead of just – and I don't know where that comes from. And also his drop back is slow. These can be coached away is my thing. So realistically, I still think Justin Fields ends up better than where he was. Because
with the Bears or with another team?
Oh, I don't know. It could be with the Bears. It could not be. I think he'll have a better season than where he has that. But right now it looks like he's regressed. And that's just unfortunate. I want him to succeed. But as I've said quite a few times on this podcast, if he's not the guy, he's not the guy. I can't do anything about it.
I mean, I think that's pretty much all you can say about it. I think, like, we're doing this pod, like, at least, what, 6 hours after the game went off, 6-7 hours after the game went off, kind of subdued.
Yeah.
What do we, like, if you're a Bears fan, I don't know, we're fans, we're also members of the media, so we got work to do. We still got to go to Kansas City.
Yep.
We still got to go to D.C. We still got to go to New Orleans. You know what I'm saying? We still got to cover the rest of the season. But if you're a Bears fan, we're only 2 weeks into this thing. Like, yeah, they're not mathematically out of in the North. Every team in the North lost in week two. literally every team. So what, they're like, what, a half game out of first place?
Yeah.
What do you look at? Because if you look at the schedule, you've got Kansas City coming out. That was a schedule loss regardless. They're going to be 0-3 this time next week. When we're sitting in Kansas City recording this podcast in our hotel, we're going to be saying the same crap we're saying right now. I think at this point, you got to kind of look at the Kansas City game as like a moral victory thing. Did they put up points? How did Justin look? Like, because you're going to lose the game. I don't think that's a matter of if. It's a matter of just by how much. Then after that, you come home against an 0-2 Denver Broncos team that's still not looking that good. Good enough to beat the Bears, but still not looking that good.
Yeah.
Then you go on the road just 4 days later to play a DC team that just beat Denver.
Yeah.
And it's 2-0.
Yep.
And Riverboard Ron got them boys playing hard. You know what I'm saying? They got Chase Young back. You know, Sam Howell's been decent. Scary Terry's been good. And then, you know, then you got, I think you got Minnesota. It's like the schedule doesn't, there's no gimme win on this schedule coming up. You know what I'm saying? So, like, my question to you is, what do Bears fans do? Like, what should they look for? Is there any hope right now?
Okay. Let me put my optimistic shades on and let me think deeply, because I have to think deeply to give you some optimism. I think a lot of what I saw week one was rust. I saw improvement in the operation of the offense on two drives as compared to none in week one. So if you want to speak literally, I saw improvement. Literally. But remember, improvement can be 0.1 to 0.2 or 0.1 to 0.11. That's how low the bar is for improvements. I saw the Bears use DJ Moore, and he's who we thought he was. Great. So technically, there was improvement. I think DJ Moore will be used more. I believe a lot of the lack of urgency came down to a lot of cramping, a lot of being in hot weather after not having played now for some time. A very small amount was due to the hot weather. Not a lot. A very small amount was due to the hot weather. So maybe not being in back of that and then going to Kansas City next week, it won't be as bad. I saw some improvement from Justin Fields that I saw last year. What I saw was on that drive that he ended with the Chase Claypool throw, he stepped back in the pocket. Like, if you ever watched the Matt Stafford game, Matt Stafford takes some very, very deep drop backs. Like, normally you got 1-2-3, 3-step drop. 1-2-3-4-5, 5-step drop. It almost is an 8-step drop. But Matt Stafford has a strong enough arm where it just doesn't matter. He could do that. I saw Justin Fields take a deeper drop, and he was seeing the field better. He was finding open people. He was making correct reads. I saw him manipulate the pocket Chase Claypool touchdown. He knew that Braxton was being pushed in, so he manipulated himself to the right, stepped up, had firm foundation through a touchdown. So for two drives that were scored, those were almost near-perfect drives. You can get a little bit of minuscule amount of hope, about this much amount of hope from that, but that's all I can give you. With the defense, I loved from what I saw from Gavon Dexter and the snaps that he had, because sometimes he struggles with having a low pad level in order to get past the defense. But I saw some really good swims, some strong swims. Jack Sanborn was hitting. I like play that I saw from TJ Edwards and Tremaine Edmonds. They're still solid players. That hasn't changed. I like play that I saw from I thought the safeties played well, especially with the backup safeties played well, especially since Jaquan and Eddie were both out. Tariq, he only can learn from here. He had his worst game as a pro in his second game. He had his welcome to the NFL moment. He had a quarterback who's been there for a while. He ain't good, but he picked on him. So it can only get better from here. And that's all. Which I don't know if that's what you were looking for, but that's all I can give you.
I mean, this there's really nothing to kind of like add to it. Like, honestly, it's just kind of like, I'm speechless. This is the first time this team has left me speechless, because it's like, I literally don't know what to tell Bears fans.
From JT O'Sullivan, I want you to read, if you don't mind. He said Justin's not bad. He's a dynamic young QB that is in a tough situation that has not played good enough the last 3 weeks. Plus, the supporting cast and the system are not helping. And Fields has to own his game right now. He needs to run in correct plays he can see develop down the field. I mean what I said. You can see that they upgraded, but they do not have a good perimeter or offensive line. And I don't think they have a number one or a decent number two NFL quality tight end. He also doesn't think DJ Moore is a true number one, which is rough.
He doesn't think DJ Moore is a true number one.
True number one.
I 100% disagree with that. He had four interceptions in 100 yards.
You know, people, you see me looking back and forth. It was a great NFL game on.
What's the score?
17-10. But yeah. So I think like I said, Justin is a hybrid of a QB. You got to get him on the move. Why take away his strengths? He can run. He likes to pass. But even in Ohio State, that pocket was moving. He was on the move. You have to encourage Justin Field to run. You have to say, oh, okay, Justin Field, you feel pressure, get out. Get outside the pocket. Pat Mahomes does it all the time. Today's day and age does not sit in the pocket. No one sits in the pocket without moving. You know what I'm saying? This isn't a – back in the day, you used to take a step back like this, and then you set up, then you throw. Yeah. That doesn't happen. It's boom, 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 one, two. I need to start moving. You need to start moving. You need to get him moving. I'm not talking about even just running a bootleg or having a line pull to the right. I mean, you need to stop having him use his dynamic playmaking ability to get outside. I saw it last year. It was sustained flashes. I saw it. Let's use it again. So, yeah.
I really wish I had more to tell our listeners.
Tua got intercepted.
Let's play some voicemail. Maybe we can ask some questions.
All right. So, yeah, we're going to go ahead and play. We got our first one. And let's see what this person's talking about.
What is he doing? Snow. Fucking
man, can he get his words out?
Just beyond frustration. So they take Fields and God knows what they're doing. They're not coaching him up. If I hear one more goddamn time he needs to speed up his processing, I'm gonna lose my mind. Either he can or he can't. After 3 years, he clearly can't. Do some boots. Some play action. Play to his strengths. What is wrong with you? Don't you want to win? Aren't you tired of losing? Doesn't that feeling just eat at you? It's 12 fucking straight games. My God.
Whatever.
At least they're well paid. Fucking asshole.
Yeah. Next one.
Hey guys, this is Errol O'Connor. I'm calling from Switzerland, actually, watching the Bears late at night here. And just got to say, this is very pathetic football to watch. It's completely frustrating. It's the same history, same story that I've seen for the past 20-plus years of my life. And it's just, you know, Fields doesn't look like the guy. The coaching staff looks lost. And, you know, do you look at this team and go, okay, maybe it's time to just start over midway through the season and see what else they can give us. I don't know anymore. I'm exhausted. I'm tired. And it's just, I'm numb to the pain that is being a Bears fan. You know, is there anything polls or maybe the new president, new CEO can actually do? Or is it just, is it just perpetual mediocrity for the foreseeable future? Is it the McCaskey? Do they have too much of a hold? Something needs to be responsible for this. This is too much. Anyways, thanks.
I mean, you want to answer these like one by one? Because I already got an answer for that. I think the thing here that I think is kind of like the constant theme is we don't know. Yeah. I think for the first time, and at least since we've been on Bears Twitter, which is going on a decade now, you know what I'm saying? We started this podcast in 2015. So we've been a part of Bears Twitter for probably about a decade, if you include the years before we started this podcast. And this for the first time, I feel like we have no full answers. And that's the messed up part. I want to get this man an answer. I don't know if it's just the McCaskies. I don't know if it's just Ryan Poles. I don't know if it's just Eberflus. I don't know if it's just that Justin's a dummy brick. I don't know. It's all of it. All of it are the problems. And the question is, how do we at least get through this season? I think we got to shift our expectations. Then we went from 7 wins, 8 wins. What do you think is appropriate right now? Because to win 7 games, they have to go what? My math is off. 15 out of 15. Yeah, they got to go what? 7 and 8?
Yeah.
Do you even think that's – they basically got to pay 500 football for the rest of the year. Do you think that's reasonable?
No. 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 We'll go to our next one. This is from Chris J. Kiri Condor, I think.
I hate this team.
It's Chris.
Simple as that. I hate this goddamn team. This is Chris J, by the way. But I just can't stress, I hate this team.
Quiet storm ass voice, nigga.
I hate everything.
That was it. Next one. It's Olo Ortiz.
Hey, what's up, y'all? This is Olo Ortiz at Twitter. And I don't know where to begin with my level of frustration and anger and just sadness of being a fucking Bears fan. Because constantly we're always getting kicked in the dick. But this is like the worst thing. This is like the worst scenario to happen because I did not expect them to look worse than they did last year when they were actively trying to tank. You have a coaching staff that looks like they don't know what the fuck they're doing. You have an offensive coordinator who didn't even call offensive plays with Green Bay. He was the fucking quarterback's coach to Aaron Rodgers, which meant what the fuck was he doing besides getting him Gatorade? And now we have Justin who shows flashes of brilliance but looks like he has regressed so much since last year. And it's obvious that this coaching staff is hindering him. And he's also hindering this team as well with his lack of awareness in the pocket. Like, I don't know what's worse, his QB awareness in the pocket or Flo's immune system. But this is just such
okay,
a big shit show.
He getting his rocks
on. And Kevin Warren has his work cut out for him. Because Kevin Warren, like how Bang said, he didn't hire any of these people. And right now, this coaching staff, I don't see them making it to the bye week. And Poles, brother, you need to do something because I don't think they're going to fire him after this season. But he better hit a fucking home run in this draft. And Justin, man, I don't know. You're going to have to show us something because before you know it, it's going to be Badgett season. And then, you know, it's just back to the drawing board again. All right, man. Peace out.
Zazaya.
Hey, man, it's Isaiah or Hakuna Moncada on Twitter. But the Bears are ass. Justin's ass. Everybody's ass. Coaching. The GM. The whole organization's been asses before we were born. Trade everybody. Fire everybody. And Caleb Williams, welcome to Chicago. Also, Orlo Ortiz, get you some bitches, bro.
It's another one from Isaiah.
That was perfect timing.
Perfect timing, literally.
Hakuna Moncada again. I made a call already, but I just really want to emphasize the fact that we some ass and that Orlo Ortiz needs to get himself some fucking bitches.
He wanted to emphasize that.
He wanted to emphasize that. Okay, next one is Steve. It's long.
At this fucking point, we might as well get Matt Nagy up there and start the whole that this is where we're at shit. Because this shit is terrible. I don't know what the fuck is going on. Justin, we thought you was the truth, dog. But, hey, my man, he simply can't read these coverages, man. And it's unfortunate that we waited this fucking long to see this terrible-ass team perform like this. Fuck Flus. Fuck. What's that fucking white coordinator, Luke Getsy bitch ass. Fuck. Oh, extra fuck. What's the D tag that was talking shit about Grammy? Justin Jones didn't do a fucking thing per usual. It's like, even if we draft Caleb Williams, it's going to be the same fucking result. And technically, Caleb Williams wouldn't even fucking come here if we got the number one pick. So I don't know what this organization is going to do. I don't know who the fuck we need to fire. But Justin Fields has now put himself and a category of Marcus Mariota and Taysom Hill. That's what he's going to be. He's going to be the dude that's on the bench that comes off who can do a 40, 50-yard run and can randomly pass, you know, a good pass every now and then. Same shit Taysom Hill does. Because he's simply not what we thought he was, and we all wanted him to be that. But this is no excuse. The fact that every fucking yard for the Chicago Bears looks extremely hard to get, that's something, that's an issue. If every time the fucking fans have to hold their breath when Justin is in shotgun and takes a snap, that's when you know it's fucking bad. I'm done with at this fucking point. I'm done with everyone's body. No, I'm kidding. Hey, I love y'all boys, man. Y'all already know who it is. You know what I'm saying? But, yeah, man, That's it for the season, man. I'm done. Justin's confidence is fucking shot. He don't know what the fuck to do. Your headlights, man. I know this shit is long, daddy. I know it's long. But you niggas gonna sit through this. Y'all gonna sit through this wreck. All right? No, I'm good, though. But, hey, bear down. And, hey, hopefully we go, like, 0-15 or something. You know? We'll make the pressure out better. Peace.
That was it for our voicemail. That was Steve, of course. Yeah, man. I don't have anything about it. It just kind of is what it is at this point. There are no words that can make you feel better about what you're seeing. It's just not good. You have to hope that there's some change, but you haven't seen anything that makes you believe it's going to be a change. So, yeah,
this is very depressing episode, man.
I don't. Last week I had enough of me to yell. I don't have enough of me to yell.
Well, we did six hours ago.
What'd you say?
We did 6 hours ago. That was 5 tequilas ago.
Yeah, I don't have enough of me to yell. I'm just kind of beyond that right now. I just kind of want to get in the bed and go to sleep.
And you have a long day of teaching the youth. And I have teach them to not be Bears fans.
And I have a long day to hear my colleagues say, "Welcome to the Bears, man," because they know I cover the Bears, and I have to go.
Oh, no, it's going to be an interesting day up in Hallis on Wednesday. I'll be up there. We had a little technical difficulty while we were recording this episode, so this is probably going to be up a little later. So because we like to show love to our Patreon subscribers, this will be on Patreon on Monday, and it'll be on the regular feed on Tuesday, just because we want the Patreon to get the love first. So, if that's all you got, man, I really ain't got nothing else, bro. I just hope. I know we're gonna lose on Sunday. I just hope this. If we can go in the fourth quarter and it's a close game, if the offense looks good, we want to take a moral victory. Honestly, yeah. That's where I'm at with it. Yeah. And maybe we can get some good barbecue while we down in Kansas City. I'm just honestly going because Arrowhead is a legendary stadium. I want to knock that off my list. And Patrick Mahomes is my favorite quarterback. So. Yeah. Those 2 reasons I'm going. But I think that's all we got for y'all today.
Yeah. We'll holler at y'all.